Hogsmeade next weekend," said Ron, craning over the heads to read the new notice. "What do you reckon?" he added quietly to Harry as they went to sit down.
"Well, Filch hasn't done anything about the passage into Honeydukes," Harry said, even more quietly.
"Harry!" said a voice in his right ear. Harry started and looked around at Hermione, who was sitting at the table right behind them and clearing a space in the wall of books that had been hiding her.
"Harry, if you go into Hogsmeade again, I'll tell Professor McGonagall about that map," said Hermione.
"Can you hear someone talking, Harry?" growled Ron, not looking at Hermione.
"Ron, how can you let him go with you, after what Sirius Black nearly did to you? I mean it, I'll tell."
"So now you're trying to get Harry expelled," said Ron furiously. "Haven't you done enough damage this year?"
Hermione opened her mouth to respond, but with a soft hiss, Crookshanks leapt onto her lap.
Hermione took one frightened look at the expression on Ron's face, gathered Crookshanks up, and hurried away towards the girls' dormitories.
"So, how about it?" Ron said to Harry, as though there had been no interruption. "Come on, last time we went you didn't see anything. You haven't even been inside Zonko's yet."
Harry looked around to check that Hermione was well out of earshot.
"Okay," he said, "but I'm taking the invisibility cloak this time."
On Saturday morning, Harry packed his invisibility cloak in his bag, slipped the Marauder's map into his pocket, and went down to breakfast with everyone else. Hermione kept shooting suspicious looks down the table at him, but he avoided her eye and was careful to let her see him walking back up the marble staircase in the entrance hall as everybody else proceeded to the front doors.
"Bye," Harry called to Ron. "See you when you get back."
Ron grinned and winked. Harry hurried up to the third floor, slipping the Marauder's map out of his pocket as he went. Crouching behind the one-eyed witch, he smoothed it out. A tiny dot was moving in his direction. Harry squinted at it. The minuscule writing next to it read, "Neville Longbottom." Harry quickly pulled out his wand, muttered, "Descendium," and shoved his bag into the statue. But before he could climb in himself, Neville came around the corner.
"Harry, I forgot you weren't going to Hogsmeade either."
"Hi, Neville," said Harry, moving swiftly away from the statue and pushing the map back into his pocket. "What are you up to?"
"Nothing," shrugged Neville. "Want a game of exploding snap?"
"Not now. I was going to go to the library and do that vampire essay for Lupin."
"I'll come with you," said Neville brightly. "I haven't done it either."
Hang on. Yeah, I forgot. I finished it last night."
"Brilliant. You can help me," said Neville, his round face anxious. "I don't understand that thing about the garlic at all. Do they have to eat it, or—"
Neville broke off with a small gasp, looking over Harry's shoulder. It was Snape. Neville took a quick step behind Harry.
"And what are you two doing here?"
said Snape, coming to a halt and looking from one to the other.
"An odd place to meet."
To Harry's immense disquiet, Snape's black eyes flicked to the doorways on either side of them, and then to the one-eyed witch.
"We're not meeting here," said Harry. "We just met here."
"Indeed," said Snape. "You have a habit of turning up in unexpected places, Potter, and you are rarely there for no reason. I suggest the pair of you return to Gryffindor Tower, where you belong." Harry and Neville set off without another word. As they turned the corner, Harry looked back. Snape was running one of his hands over the one-eyed witch's head, examining it closely. Harry managed to shake Neville off at the fat lady by telling him the password, then pretending he'd left his vampire essay in the library and doubling back. Once out of sight of the security trolls, he pulled out the map again and held it close to his nose. The third-floor corridor seemed to be deserted. Harry scanned the map carefully and saw, with a leap of relief, that the tiny dot labelled Severus Snape was now back in its office. He sprinted back to the one-eyed witch, opened her hump, heaved himself inside, and slid down to meet his bag at the bottom of the stone chute. He wiped the Marauder's map blank again, then set off at a run. Harry, completely hidden beneath the invisibility cloak, emerged into the sunlight outside Honeydukes and prodded Ron in the back.
"It's me," he muttered.
"What kept you?" Ron hissed.
"Snape was hanging around."
They set off up the high street.
"Where are you?" Ron kept muttering out of the corner of his mouth. "Are you still there? This feels weird."
They went to the post office. Ron pretended to be checking the price of an owl to Bill in Egypt, so that Harry could have a good look around. The owls sat hooting softly down at him, at least 300 of them, from great greys right down to tiny little Scops owls, local deliveries only, which were so small they could have sat in the palm of Harry's hand. Then they visited Zonko's, which was so packed with students Harry had to exercise great care not to tread on anyone and cause a panic. There were jokes and tricks to fulfil even Fred and George's wildest dreams. Harry gave Ron whispered orders and passed him some gold from under the cloak. They left Zonko's with their money bags considerably lighter than they had been on entering, but their pockets bulging with dung bombs, hiccup sweets, frog spawn soap, and a nose-biting teacup apiece. The day was fine and breezy, and neither of them felt like staying indoors, so they walked past the Three Broomsticks and climbed a slope to visit the Shrieking Shack, the most haunted dwelling in Britain. It stood a little way above the rest of the village, and even in daylight was slightly creepy, with its boarded windows and dank, overgrown garden. "Even the Hogwarts ghosts avoid it," said Ron, as they leaned on the fence, looking up at it. "I asked Nearly Headless Nick. He says he's heard a very rough crowd live here. No one can get in. Fred and George tried, obviously, but all the entrances are sealed shut." Harry, feeling hot from their climb, was just considering taking off the cloak for a few minutes when they heard voices nearby. Someone was climbing towards the house from the other side of the hill. Moments later, Malfoy had appeared, followed closely by Crabbe and Goyle. Malfoy was speaking. "Should have an owl from my father any time now. He had to go to the hearing to tell him about my arm, about how I couldn't use it for 3 months." Crabbe and Goyle sniggered. "I really wish I could hear that great hairy moron trying to defend himself. There's no arm in him, honest. That hippogriff's as good as dead." Malfoy suddenly caught sight of Ron. His pale face split in a malevolent grin. "What are you doing, Weasley?" Malfoy looked up at the crumbling house behind Ron. "Suppose you'd love to live here, wouldn't you, Weasley? Dreaming about having your own bedroom. I heard your family all sleep in one room. Is that true?" Harry seized the back of Ron's robes to stop him leaping on Malfoy. "Leave him to me!" he hissed in Ron's ear. The opportunity was too perfect to miss. Harry crept silently around behind Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle, bent down and scooped a large handful of mud out of the path. "We were just discussing your friend Hagrid," Malfoy said to Ron. "Just trying to imagine what he's saying to the Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures. Do you think he'll cry when they cut off his hippogriff's splat?" Malfoy's head jerked forwards as the mud hit him. His silver-blonde hair was suddenly dripping in muck. "What the—" Ron had to hold on to the fence to keep himself standing. He was laughing so hard. Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle spun stupidly on the spot, staring wildly around, Malfoy trying to wipe his hair clean. "What was that? Who did that?" "Very haunted up here, isn't it?" said Ron, with the air of one commenting on the weather. Crabbe and Goyle were looking scared. Their bulging muscles were no use against ghosts. Malfoy was staring madly around at the deserted landscape. Harry sneaked along the path, where a particularly sloppy puddle yielded some foul-smelling green sludge. Splatter! Crabbe and Goyle caught some this time. Goyle hopped furiously on the spot, trying to rub it out of his small, dull eyes. "It came from over there," said Malfoy, wiping his face and staring at a spot some 6 feet to the left of Harry.